So good morning. It's always an honor and a privilege and very humbling to prepare a message, particularly for Thanksgiving. But I'm really happy to be able to share what the Lord has been kind of. This has been a little bit of a journey, and I'll kind of step through. So let me just get the screen started here. Let's see if this works. Saj did such a nice job getting things set up. What happened here? There we go. Good. Okay. What does Thanksgiving mean to you? Lots of thoughts just went through your mind, right? So the wonders of the internet age, right? I started off, I was looking for images, right, to kind of start the talk off. And so I typed in here, the bounty of Thanksgiving. What do you think came up on my screen next? Get ready. So we'll get the advertisement out of the way this morning. For all the messes that occur with Thanksgiving, there's always bounty. It's amazing, you know, if you ever thought the internet was stacked, right? Google is not commercial. Okay, this was my moment. PPNG, right, wins big time. It was like 65% of the first screen were images of bounty. It was amazing. But now this is really kind of what, you know, you kind of traditionally think, right? The cornucopia, the turkeys. Most of us kind of like it without feathers. And the question is, right, there's the meal, and then, you know, is there room for what's I don't know, where are you guys in terms of what you really look for? Is it the turkey or is it the pecan pie? I can never really decide. So that usually means at least a 3-hour break after the turkey to get to the pecan pie. I like pecan pie. But, you know, we have this image of the pilgrims. And what I wanted to do this morning is, you know, Thanksgiving is something that is something that's rooted in our experience. It's rooted in our past. It's very much an experience of what we have today. And it's also very much an anticipation of the future as well, too. It's the hopes and dreams that we have. And really that's what largely propels us. It's amazing how much of our mental time is actually spent in the future in terms of anticipation and how that drives our activity and drives our sense in terms of our heart of Thanksgiving is where we are in anticipating the future. I mean, if you think about our country, and this is I think probably a stylistically accurate in the sense of the natural environment. This is New England, Chuck, right? New England, and this time of year, you know, there's actually leaves on the trees. There's no leaves on the trees in Boston right now. The leaves are gone. They've been gone for a month. They haven't had their first snow yet, but quite often this time of year there'd be the first snow there. With very harsh conditions, but yet the Lord allowed them to become settled and to have a first harvest. And it was the Indians, you know, who we normally think about as being enemies, that actually enabled that colony. A very different experience of the colony in Massachusetts and the colony in Jamestown in Virginia. Very different experience. And there were more Indians apparently at the Thanksgiving, that first Thanksgiving feast, than there were pilgrims. And a thing to note in terms of the faith of these people is roughly half of them died in the first winter because they arrived in fall. But when the Mayflower, not the Mayflower, what ship was it? Remind me. My brain is failing me. It's the Mayflower? When the Mayflower returned in the summer, spring summer of the following year, there were no pilgrims on it. They all stayed. They were looking. They were, even with the hardships, they were looking forward to the future and what God had called them. And it's because of, you know, I don't want this to be jingoistic in any sort of way, but I do, you know, and I'm a first generation, so I'm not kind of tied as many of you are in terms of generations. My father is German, my mother is English. I'm you know, not fresh off the boat, but I was born, you know, within 5 years after they arrived here. So I don't have the kind of roots, but yet I will tell you I have an appreciation for what I've been born into, the heritage that we've been born into, and it's a very deep religious heritage that is the foundation of this country, and it's a huge blessing and something that we can be very thankful for. So the verse that I really have in mind that's just been kind of running through my mind for this entire message is this one in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And the word that I want to focus on is actually a, what do they call it, a preposition? The word in. You ever notice that it's the word in here? Not due to circumstances, not from circumstances, but in all circumstances. So we're to give praise in. So let's really talk through what that means. So Thanksgiving, as it turns out, is actually really, I mean, even though the first one may have occurred with the pilgrims, the first actual institution of it occurred with Abraham Lincoln in 1863. So 1863, where is that in our history?
Civil War.
It's right in the middle of the Civil War. You know, I first looked at this, I thought, oh, it must have been at the end of the Civil War. But it's not. It's right smack in the middle of the Civil War. And it was proclaimed by Abraham Lincoln, probably one of our most amazing presidents. As I've studied this, I've come to really appreciate this man that God created for this particular time. He was no stranger to difficulty, you know. You kind of read his resume and you wonder how the heck he ever got to be president. I mean, this man lost his mother at the age of 9. He had probably less than 12 months of formal schooling, and yet he was a lawyer. All self-taught, mostly. His first love was early in his 20s, died of typhoid. He was subject to bouts of recurring deep depression. His first term in the U.S. House of Representatives lasted just 2 years. He made a faux pas in terms of one of his votes and wasn't able to get reelected again. And he lost several subsequent elections. So you just can't imagine that this man became president of the United States. And then as president, on February 20th, 1962, at 5 o'clock, Lincoln's 11-year-old son, William Wallace, died at the White House. And historians, and if you read some of the literature, they suggest that this was probably one of the most difficult personal crises in Lincoln's life. I mean, I've not lost a child. I'm very fortunate to have children. Most of us know of people who have lost children. And the comment here, I'll just read here a couple things just to provide some background. And this is all basically within 2 years of when, or a year and a half of when Abraham Lincoln established our Thanksgiving. After the funeral of his son, Lincoln attempted to return to his routine, but was unable. 1 week after the funeral, he isolated himself in his office and wept all day. And when his son died, Lincoln reportedly said, "My God, live and all, he was too good for this earth. The good Lord has called him home. I know that he's much better off in heaven." But you know, when people go home, loved ones go home, it's not a point in time. It's a continuum. And when the Bishop Matthew Simpson gave an address at Lincoln's funeral, he quoted him as asking a soldier, and the soldiers having seen many who died during the Civil War, there were many that died. It was a period of great loss for people. "Do you ever find yourself talking with the dead?" And
Since Willie's death, I catch myself every day involuntarily talking with him as if he were with me. So, I mean, there's a comfort, right, to know that his son was better off in heaven, and these conversations. So sad, but in some sense, perhaps comforting as well, too. At the same time, war wasn't going well with the Union. McClellan, I mean, Lincoln had wonderful generals. He really had a tough time with his generals. And they were pitted against probably one of the most brilliant tacticians and leaders of all time, Robert E. Lee. But in the midst of all of this, you had April 17th. This would be in 1962. You had the Battle of Antietam, and that was really kind of the first crack in the war, where things headed in a direction. And September 22nd, Lincoln was encouraged to issue the Emancipation Proclamation. And then what an interesting twist in history is that when the Confederacy did not yield, Lincoln then finally issued the final, he actually made it law in the 1st of February, 1863. And the reason why I put this in here is that for not so much us here in this assembly, but when you were in Germantown, I would think that this would resonate with a significant portion of our population in terms of what this meant in terms of freedom and dignity, human dignity, for our nation. Much to think about, much to be thankful for. Late in 1862 and early 1863, Lincoln would endure more agonies, the defeat of Burnside and then Hooker. And it was recorded that he was in deep depression. And his comment, just to give you a sense of where he was at, right, was, "If there's a worse place than hell, I'm in it," Lincoln told him. What a difficult thing, right, to be a president during a civil war in a nation. Very difficult. But during the summer of 1963, the tide turned in favor of the Union. It seems like a long ago already, right? But it's even further back than 1963. The Battle of Gettysburg in July of 1863 was the first time that Lee was soundly defeated, but at great cost. On November 19th, 1863, Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address. And as a model for us brothers in the remembrance meeting, it was 272 words, less than 2 minutes, and probably one of the most profound, moving addresses, right, in terms of capturing the commemoration of the cemetery of all of those soldiers that were there. But all this is really leading up to him declaring, right, this day of Thanksgiving. What a remarkable thing. I mean, I just would never have imagined, and I just share it with you, I just would never have imagined that our Thanksgiving Day would have occurred out of this sort of crucible of human and national experience. And what I thought to do is this morning is to really kind of go through this. And I just want to maybe read a couple of things before I do that in terms of Lincoln's reflection on the experience of the nation. Read a couple of things here. This was in Lincoln's second inaugural address in 1865, so it's a bit retrospective, but still, I think, encapsulates his thinking from a theology. He said, "Both the North and the South read the same Bible, pray to the same God, and each invokes his aid against the other. It may seem strange that any man should dare to ask a just God's assistance in wringing their bread from the sweat of other men's faces. But let us judge not what we be not judged, that we be not judged. The prayers of both could not be answered, neither that of neither has been fully answered. The Almighty has his own purposes." So he had, and through all of this, he basically came to a position of he needed to do what he felt that he was called to do, but he committed it all to God. Just read one more thing that he wrote down, and this was when he was drafting the Emancipation Proclamation. He wrote, "The will of God prevails. In great contests, each party claims to act in accordance with the will of God. Both may be, and one must be, wrong, God can't be for and against the same thing at the same time. In the present civil war, it's quite possible that God's purpose is something different from the purpose of either party. And yet the human instrumentalities, working just as they do, are the best adaptation to affect his purpose. He works through us, chooses to. I'm almost ready to say that this is probably true, that God wills this contest and wills that it shall not end yet. By his mere great power on the minds of now contestants, he could either have saved or destroyed the Union without a human contest, yet the contest began. And having begun, he could give the final victory to either side at any day, yet the contest proceeds. I mean, the reality is, if you look back at that war, the war could have been won by either side. It could have gone either way. There were times that war could have gone either way. As it turned out, the longer the war went, the more likely the North was able to win just by sheer mass and material and number of people. But Lincoln, in the midst of it, was very cognizant of the fact that it could have gone either way. And when a minister came to him, piously sort of saying to Lincoln, "I hope the Lord is on our side," Lincoln's response was, "I'm not at all concerned about that. But it is my constant anxiety and prayer that I and this nation should be on the Lord's side." And that's really where we need to be, I think, in terms of our own lives, right? It's not so much is the Lord on our side, but are we on the Lord's side? Very profound. So just wanted to read through this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time belaboring it, and you can come back and look at it. It's on the internet, but I wanted to read through because it's very instructive in terms of our nation, the actual Thanksgiving Declaration. And I can't believe I'm doing this. This is very patriotic for me. This is not me. But I'm very moved by it. I'm very moved by it, and I hope you are as well, too. "Is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord. We know that by his divine law, nations, like individuals, are subject to punishments and chastisements in this world. May we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins, to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown, and that remains true." I mean, this is as prophetic as it was real at the time. "But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us, and we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us." And this is the last section. Just remember, this is written by someone who had less than 12 months of formal schooling. It seemed to me fit and proper that God should be solemnly and reverently and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in the foreign lands, to set apart and observe the Thursday, the last Thursday of November. So this works for Johannes. You can send this to him. Thursday of November is the day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Abraham Lincoln, October 3rd, 1863. I never read this until this week. I was blown away. I don't know how you all are. I hope that you've enjoyed it as much as I have. So, a remarkable man. Simple photograph of him. You know, I don't know how each of us will be remembered. This man is if you look at historians, he, for most historians, is probably our best president. All historians, he's in the top three presidents. Don't want to make a shrine necessarily, but again, memories, right? And Thanksgiving for, and I think we need to be thankful to the Lord that the Lord raised this individual at this time to be this person in our nation. And where would we be if he was not there? You think about some of these addresses, humble addresses from a humble man at a special time. And, you know, he lived to see the end of the Civil War, so unlike Moses, who could see the land but never went into land, Abraham Lincoln was sort of the same way. He got to the end of the war but never really got to enjoy, you know, the fruits of that. He was called before he was able to do that. So again, back to our verse. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So as a nation, the Civil War, right? In all circumstances, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So I want to transition a little bit, thinking about the Lord's experience. Not real different. Think about, and we remembered it this morning, right? It says, and when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So he used a very simple meal. You know, as we're together as families, we're not necessarily remembering the Lord in terms of the remembrance meeting. But here he says, I earnestly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And it says here, he gave thanks. So what was in his mind, do you think, as he was giving thanks? And this is the verse that I read from Hebrews this morning, where it says, ouch. So that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. So even as he was sharing this with them, he was anticipating the cross, but I think he was really actually, this feast was not for them. This feast was for once he was dead and raised. He was already looking ahead. If you look at this word thanks, the Greek is eucharisteo, and I'm not a Greek person, so my knowledge is based on what I was able to look in terms of what I read. Kind of breaking that word into the pieces of it. Thanksgiving, eucharisteo. The root of it is charis, which means grace. So as Jesus was sharing this loaf with his disciples, he was already anticipating the grace that would be theirs because of his death for them. Eucharisteo also holds within it the derivative of the Greek word chara, meaning joy. Hebrews 12, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne on high. Our Lord was able to give thanks for the loaf because he was looking beyond the cross. He was already beyond it, in a sense, mentally. And so, as we come through this Thanksgiving period, the thought that's in my mind and the thing that I guess I've been reflecting on is it's rather than focusing on whether we're thankful or not, and that's kind of where my heart's been usually in the past, let's rather than focusing on the present circumstances, you know, thankfulness for present circumstances, we're really called by God to be thankful in them rather than for them. Because, I mean, the reality is that many of us are going through circumstances that it's hard to be thankful for our circumstances. But yet we can be thankful in the circumstances for two reasons. One, because of all that God has done for us in the past. And two, all that we look forward to Him, right? We, even in difficult circumstances, we still have Him. And by going through difficult circumstances and learning to thank Him in difficult circumstances, we learn to trust Him, who is sovereign, who is loving, and is good. If you have any doubt in terms of where his heart was in John chapter 17, and this is, we sometimes call it the high priestly prayer, John 17, is before he went. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. He was already looking forward to that time, and we were just talking this morning. I was talking with Bart this morning. He says, you know, the Lord's coming soon. The Lord was already thinking as he was there in the garden, right? He was already, in his mind, he was already in glory with us there in his presence, being able to share his glory with us. Where are our hearts, where are our minds, is at least a part of this, as we go through this time of Thanksgiving, is at least a part of this also there, looking forward to that time when we'll be together with him and be able to see his glory. And he truly is food for us. He said, my body is meat. And truly, as we think about him and we dwell on him, he is. And just to kind of drive this home, there's a couple places here that I just kind of wanted this in particular. We also believe, and so also we speak. Let me read the passage. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. This is our part. We also believe. And so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that the grace extends to more and more people. It may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. This is the gospel, right? That as more and more come in, that there are more and more people that can bring thanksgiving to the glory of God. And very much part of what this is in terms of thanksgiving is it's a very scriptural thing. God spoke and it was so, right? We as creatures of praise, that's what we're designed. What is the Westminster Confession? It says the purpose of man is to glorify God, is that right? Pardon?
And enjoy him forever.
So we believe, and so also we speak. I mean, as we believe, and so we offer thanksgiving. That's one of our major purposes, right? Is to do that. So verse 16. So we don't lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen by eyes of faith. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So again, giving thanks not of our circumstances, but in our circumstances. We are spiritually alive, and we are able to offer a kind of praise and thanksgiving to God that is unique to us as believers. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. So I just wanted to reflect. We've got a couple minutes here about this week that's coming up. So thinking about, as you think personally, right, your past and the present, the future, our nation, you know, praying about our nation. Interesting presidential campaign, by the way. our community, our work context. Most of us work. Some of us are in the community. Some of us, our focus is currently at home, our families, and most of all, really, our own personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, right? That daily walk that we have with Him. How do we glorify Him with thanksgiving? And this is really just a personal challenge, right? And it's our job is to offer thanksgiving. How do we do that? Where are our hearts as we consider that? And then just a question. Each of us are every day creating history. Not on the grand stage that Abraham Lincoln was, but each of us is creating our own personal history, right? For ourselves, our own milestones and markers in our own personal life with the Lord. But we're also doing it with the people around us, our families, the assembly here, the community that you're in, whoever it is that you know, your friends, the network of people that you consider those that you're tied in with. So I just would encourage us to, and this is what I'm taking, is you know, let's not boil the ocean. You know, this time of year, the tendency is to try and do all the things that we always do, right? And it becomes kind of overwhelming sometimes. But find some time to be quiet. Really reflect on this Thanksgiving. And is there something that we can either begin, refocus, or renew from a Thanksgiving tradition that could increase our Thanksgiving? Could be something simple as I don't know what you do when you before you sit down for the Thanksgiving meal. You know, what is there something that you do as a family? What are the different traditions? Or is there something that you do in terms of visiting people on Thanksgiving Day? You know, what is it that you make special about this time of year? And just pick something, right, that you want to make kind of a, or at least try at least anyway. Maybe you decide you don't want to do it for the future because it didn't work the way you wanted it to. But think, I mean, just experiment with something. Find something that you want to try this week that would be special in terms of, again, thinking about how do I, through Thanksgiving, glorify God. And again, the thought here is give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have come to each of us in a very intimate way. We thank you that regardless of how we feel today and our emotions ebb and flow, and Father, we thank you that you've made us as emotional beings, that we do have that ebb and flow of emotion. But we do thank you, Father, that you are close to us and that you desire to have this relationship of our hearts, that they would be in thanksgiving before you. And we just pray this week that you would draw us out, help us to understand how you've been faithful in our past, how you're faithful to us currently, and how you have such a wonderful hope for all of us in the future. We pray that this would encourage us, and that the result of that, that we would bring our praise and thanksgiving to you. And we just thank you for one another, and thank you for this assembly. We thank you for helping us over this past year. And we just look forward, Father, to your continued presence and reality in our lives as individuals, as families, and as an assembly. And yea, even as a nation. We thank you and we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.